ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ येषां ज्ञाने नित्ययुक्ता एकभक्तिर्विशिष्यते प्रियो हि ज्ञानिनो अत्यर्थम् अहम् स च मम प्रियः. The one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Free from all contaminations of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. And of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and is at the same time engaged in devotional service is, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body. And when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So by association with the pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. Udara sarva evaite gyanitva atmayvayamatam Astitasahi Yuktatma Mam Evanuttamam Gatim. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls. But he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. Vasudevas sarvam iti samahatma sudurulabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. Om ajnanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Krishna is concluding about different kinds of people who approach him. There are four kinds of people who approach the Lord: the distressed, the inquisitive, one who is seeking knowledge, and those who are seeking wealth, material prosperity. Of the four, the Lord says, one who is in knowledge or seeking knowledge, he is the best. But then Krishna here, in the 18th verse, he makes a very assuring statement. He says, Udara sarva evahi. He said, but my dear Arjuna, even though Jnani is the best, one who is in knowledge of the Lord is the best, but I say everybody is good. All these four are good. Because the principle of approaching God is a very important principle. Why you approach, that's a further analysis, a deeper analysis. But somebody is approaching, that's the most important principle. So Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he speaks the idealistic concept, but at the same time he speaks the accommodating concept also. Flexibility along with standard is the natural tendency of the Lord and his great devotees. that if you water down everything, nothing remains. Just like if you take a milk and you keep on adding water to the milk to increase the quantity, then milk does not remain anymore milk. It simply becomes white water. You can't drink as a water and you can't drink it as a milk also. And both become useless. But the same time, if you have four people and you only have 5 milliliters of milk, it is unconsumable. Good quality, but cannot satisfy anybody. So therefore, the Lord here, while presenting the highest concept, who is the best of the devotees, he also says, anyone who comes to me, udara, magnanimous. Just see, we call Lord magnanimous because he's so compassionate. He does not see the fault of the living entities. He attracts everybody by some means to him because that's his nature. But here Lord Krishna is speaking about his devotees, any kind of devotee, coming for any reason. One may come to the Lord because he's distressed. He says he's great, he's magnanimous. Now Krishna is calling not even great devotees as magnanimous. That is Krishna's point of view. And the devotee's point of view, or the definition of Bhakti Yoga's point of view, one makes the distinction. A distinction is made not for the sake of differentiating, this is better and this is lower. Differentiation or difference is made, distinction is made only with the intention of making a greater progress. Any student, when he's studying in the school, when he gets grades or gets marks in the examination, in the preliminary examination, if he's satisfied with less, that shows that he may not progress. One does not need to tell him. He has to feel, oh, this is not sufficient for my further studies. It may not help me. I need to prepare more. Comparing 70% with 60% or 70% with 80%, 80 with 90, 90 with 95, 95 with 100 is made not to minimize 70, not to minimize 60, rather to increase one's desire to go to the higher levels. So therefore Krishna, while making the distinction, no, Jnani, one who is in knowledge of me, is the best. Why? Because there is no tinge of material thing. There is nothing between him and Krishna. There is nothing between devotee and Krishna. When you have something between you and your beloved, that motivation, some other motivation, what does it do? It causes a barrier for relationship. Just like there was a king in Europe, as kings used to do, disguise themselves as ordinary people. This king also disguised, went around looking, and then eventually he landed up in a place where this fireman who was supplying firewood to maintain heat for a building, he came to that place. And the fireman always stays in the underground, almost like, you know, nobody comes to see him, and he's supplying firewood regularly. And the king went and befriended him. He didn't tell that I was a king. And some other their nature, it's not question of money, it's not question of position. Some other, they struck friendship with each other. They became thick of friends. The king would come regularly to him. He would share his thoughts. He would befriend with him, hear from his fireman. And eventually one day the king decided, I should reveal my identity. I've never told him. But the king was fearing, if I tell my identity to this fireman, maybe he will exploit. He will know that I'm a fireman and he's the king. Oh, because he's the king, I can ask many things from him. But anyway, king decided, let me test also. And now, up until now, he has been my friend. For the sake of friendship, But once he comes to know that I am his a friend with lot of wealth, maybe his mentality will change. Then to test him and to reveal his identity, the king told, you know what? He said, you may think I'm your friend, and I'm your friend. There's no doubt about it. And therefore, as you are my friend, there should be greater confidence between you and me. So I want to reveal my identity. Actually, I am the king of this whole state. And this fireman expressed surprise, and he was honored to have such a friend, a king as his friend. And he felt himself very low. I'm so low. I'm nobody. And king is coming regularly and making friendship with me and revealing his heart to me. Now he's actually revealing what's his position. And the king said, he said, I was not revealing my position. I was not revealing my identity to you because I was fearing that you might exploit me. In this world, friendship is only friendship if you can satisfy my sense gratification. Friendship is very circumstantial and enmity also very circumstantial. How do I define a friend or an enemy? Based upon how it benefits me and how it does not benefit me. That is the definition of friendship. This was spoken by Drupada to Dronacharya. When Dronacharya came to Drupada, his son Ashwatthama could not even get to drink milk. He was very poor. So what Dronacharya's wife would do, she would take water and add wheat flour. And she would give that as a milk. But one day Dronacharya's son actually got to drink real milk. When you taste something higher, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita also, Vishya Vini Vartante Niraharasya Dehinam Raso Virja Raso Pasya Param Drishtva Nivartate. He was drinking, thinking this as milk, but he got actual milk. Therefore, he had no more interest in drinking this Atta's water, floor water. And I said, this is not milk, I don't want. So Dronacharya was forced to look for a cow which would give milk. So he thought, okay, let me go to my old schoolmate. Who is my schoolmate? Drupada is my schoolmate. And in friendship, he said, when I become the king of my country, you come to me. And I can give anything you want. So he has promised. So naturally, because of friendship, he will offer me something. If not anything, at least one cow. So Dronacharya, with that expectation to meet his old friend and to get some benefit. So his interest was also selfish. You may say, no, he was not for himself. He was doing for his son. Himself or his son. One is for personal self and one is the extended self. Srila Prabhupada defines, what is selfishness? Someone is serving himself. And then one is serving one's family members. Then one is serving a specific community. I serve my people of my state, my village. Then you go beyond. I serve the countrymen. Or I go beyond the country and serve all human beings. And what about animals? As long as there is a material intent, one is self-centered and an extended selfishness. So Dronacharya came there asking for cow. And Drupada was so insulting to Drona. He said, I said something when I was young, studying in the school. And in school we speak so many things. And nothing is taken seriously. I must have said you are my friend. But friendship takes place amongst equals. And for that matter, my dear Dronacharya, here Drupada makes the statement. He said, friendship is circumstantial, enmity is circumstantial. I was friend to you because you were studying in my school. I am no more your friend because there is no relationship. There is nothing between you and me. There is no equality. He said, you can get something and you get out of this place. Very insulting he spoke. And Dronacharya could not stand it. He became very insulted. So therefore, anything in this world has some kind of in between. Then that is not pure. So this friend of the king, he said, Thank you for sharing your thoughts, your fears that you are thinking that I'll exploit you. I said, what can I tell you? He said, my dear friend, he said, giving something what belongs to you is inferior to giving yourself. He said, up until now, you have given yourself to me. If you give some money to me, if you give some wealth to me, if you give some land to me, what is it? It is not you. It is what belongs to you. So therefore, there is a distinction between having you and having your property. He said, having your property is always inferior to having you. So therefore, I am very grateful to you that you have given yourself to me. That is the sum and substance of this verse. Here Krishna is talking of a jnani. Jnani gives to the Lord himself for no other reason other than giving himself. And the Lord reciprocates with a jnani or a devotee of the Lord for no other reason other than offering himself to that devotee. That's a pure relationship. And that is possible to exist. Like I remember many years back, when I was very young, there was a movie. I don't want to repeat in the temple hall, otherwise you'll go back and don't guess also. So people, after watching that movie, the lovers, when there was barrier, obstacles from their parents, their relatives and their friends, you know, they would come and they would say, nothing can stop us. Even death will not stop us. Anything stops, we are going to break those barriers and meet together, if not in this lifetime, some lifetime. So they would come and jump into the ocean in Goa. And they would write in the newspaper, 6 people died, 7 people died, 8 people died, 9 people died. And I remember counting till 21 in the newspapers. So here, some mundane love means when they started to loving each other. Just see, when they came together, they had to face so many obstacles in their life. They could have said, just see, so inauspicious. Because you came in my life, therefore there is so much of trouble. Sometimes people ask this question. Since I started coming to the temple, things are going bad. People consider being connected to God is the beginning of inauspiciousness. But here, you know, people glorified such kind of sacrifice. Just see, what a sacrifice. The parents opposed it. Everybody opposed it, but still they came together, jumped together. Next life, at least they'll become ghosts together and stay together. Because suicide, according to the scripture, makes you a ghost. Jai Shishir Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So here we see the principle of willing to withstand all kinds of obstacle to practice what they believe is the reality of their life. Similarly with Krishna, it is nothing but a love affair. And that love affair should not stop just because there are certain obstacles. When we stop because there are obstacles, then that is not love. That means there was some other intention other than actually loving each other. The reciprocation was based upon some material cause. And therefore the jnani, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita here, that this jnani, why is he so dear to Krishna? Everybody is liked by Krishna, but jnani is very dear to Krishna because there is no other desire other than simply loving Krishna. He is attracted by the personality of Krishna. And Rukmini was about to be marrying Shishupal. Arranged marriage, arranged by Shishupal with his own interest. His interest was, he wanted to extend his friendship with, you know, Jarasan. And therefore he wanted to sacrifice his sister. And she had no interest in marrying Jarasan, Shishupal. But brother forced, this is our tradition. All the younger should listen to the superiors. So then Rukmini was younger. She was not disrespectful, but she had a very clear understanding. I was discussing with the children. Disrespect is synonymous to disobeying. Disobeying is synonymous to disrespect. Now, can you say Prahlad Maharaj was disrespectful to his father? Certainly was disobeying. He did not disobey his father, but he was not at all disrespecting. So, Rukmini, without disrespecting her family tradition, respectfully she disobeyed and wrote a letter to Krishna and sent the messenger. And what was the message in that? The message was, my dear Lord, I've heard about your glories, and hearing your glories, I've been attracted by you. So therefore, if I have to give my life to anyone, it's only you. And for this sake, Rukmini wrote in that letter, I'm willing to lay down my life millions of times. That is called as love. Rukmini is saying, I'm willing to lay down my life millions of times. And if you think I'm not qualified for your love, that is my bad fortune. And to become qualified for your love, I'm willing to perform tapasya as much as possible. But I cannot think of anybody else other than your affection and your love. When Krishna read the letter, he was very appreciative of her boldness. And of course, because he's the protector of his devotee, the Lord assured, he sent the message from the Brahmana. He said, go and tell her that I am coming. He said, this is wrong system. I am coming and I am going to pick up Rukmini from there. And Rukmini was waiting for the Lord to come. When Krishna came, Krishna picked up Rukmini. And suddenly all the warriors got shocked. What's happening in the marriage hall? Just imagine in the marriage, marriage is getting arranged. And the girl is supposed to come. And somebody comes and picks her up and drives her away. And Shishupal was building castles in the air. How he's going to enjoy? But they were also fearing the appearance of Krishna. Krishna might come. Therefore, all these warriors had got big armies. When Krishna lifted Rukmini, they tried to come and fight Krishna. And Krishna easily defeated them. And some of the kings, being very wise, said, why should we lay down our life for Shishupal's sake? It is not very sensible. He wants to enjoy and we are leading our life. He said, come on, they withdrew. He said, we came to enjoy, not to fight the battle. So they withdrew. And Shishupal could not do anything. He was like lost. Because his dreams were frustrated. Neither he could raise the weapon. He stood there helpless. But his well-wisher, his supposed to be brother-in-law, Rukmi, he said, don't worry, I will handle the things. He came to fight with Krishna, and he took a vow that I will never come back unless I capture Krishna back to our Kaundinyapur. This is in Maharashtra, in Wardha district. Very beautiful place. That temple is still there. The temple of Amba Devi, where Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. So Rukmi came to fight with Krishna, and Krishna is about to slaughter Rukmi. Just see, the love affair went to such an extent that Rukmini had to almost see the departure of her brother, and she felt sympathetic. She was angry with her brother, but again, never to the extent where she wanted him to lose his life. And only because of Rukmini, otherwise Krishna would have easily slaughtered him. And not even giving a chance of fighting like a warrior. He was caught like a small insect, just like a baby catching a fly in his hand. Crush it and it is finished. You can't even see the body also. No requirement of doing final rites. Antya samskar is also not required. That was the position of Rukmi. And Rukmini prayed. He said, after all, he's my brother. Please do not do like this. And Krishna is quite amazed. Just see what kind of treatment her brother gave to her. Emotionally, physically, in every aspect, he exploited and tortured her. And still this lady is willing to be sympathetic and compassionate. So therefore, loving Krishna does not make you selfish. But nothing, no force in the world can stop that love. But at the same time, that love is not selfish. That love extends as compassion towards other living entities, even including the enemies. Krishna's love is not selfish. I am saying this everywhere. Recently, our Brahmachari's father, Gaur Gopalpur's father, left his body. And he comes from a Jain background. They are not devotees from their childhood of Krishna. Right? They are very staunch in their worship, in their pujas and austerities. And he comes from a very strong Jain background. And he never preached to his mother. I remember when she came, when he became a full-time devotee, the mother came here. And she said, I am going to fast till death. They are good at fasting, 40 days, 50 days. You know, it would have not been difficult for her. She said, till he comes back, I am going to fast. Then, you know, that was a very serious thing. You know, somebody coming to your temple, and that too, a woman, and that too, a mother of some, you know, she's afflicted party. And she said, I'm going to sit here till death. Of course, she did not do it. We fed her nice prasad. She took prasad, and eventually she went away. But the son never preached to her. He would visit her regularly. And his father never chanted. He had a Parkinson's disease and he was getting cured, but suddenly his hemoglobin came down and he departed. And just a week before his departure, he was chanting Hare Krishna regularly. And then he told his wife, that is Gaur Gopalpur's mother, my time is up. You know, he held her hand and placed her hand on his head, you know. And then he took his sister's hand, took mother's hand, and took her blessings. He said, I'm ready to leave now. I don't think I will survive. And he left his body. When Gaur Gopalpur went to meet his mother, just see how Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. She said that, you know, I also, if this has to happen to me also, someday it will happen to me also, I also want to depart like this, remembering Krishna. All the vidhis were done according to their style. And the lady said, the mother said, but actually the best thing for my husband, best thing for your father, is that all of you come, take prasad, do kirtan and pray for him. And tomorrow 65 devotees are going and she is feeding them lunch and dinner together. So therefore the love for the Lord may be misunderstood by people, but the effect is very positive. You like it or you don't like, your understanding may be wrong, but the effect of that love is always powerful and positive. And his sister, she is saying, I lost my brother from a mundane point of view, but in losing my brother, I got Krishna. What a good gain, what a good bargain. Now, who is giving that realization? They never attended Bhagavatam class. They never heard the verses. You know, one should not approach Krishna with material desires. They did not study Bhakti Rasamrita Sundar, which talks about pure devotional service. Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adi Anavritam. Nothing that sort. This realization is coming because the love of Krishna, when you perform without any motivation, it goes and affects the party whom you are connected to. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sarvam Bhattacharya's brother-in-law, again he misunderstood the love of Lord and his devotee. And he was very blasphemous. He would actually come to Bhattacharya's house, and his typical disease of Amhoga was to come and see how much Lord Chaitanya is eating. Can you imagine, someone is measuring how much you eat? Everybody has a different capacity. No? So one who is a lean and skinny, a diseased person, for him to digest even barley water is a big challenge. And for someone who is a little higher, he may handle khichdi. And a wrestler can handle 5 liters of milk also. 10 aloo parathas also. And you to call him, you gluttonous. No, calling Bhima like that. And what kind of task he does? He eats food in one hand and kills Bakasur. That is the strength of Bhima. When Bhima was eating, he went as the prey to this demon Bakasur, And Bakasura saw, wow, powerful, well-built personality. I can enjoy a greater feast. But when he went closer, what did he see? The well-built personality is consuming everything what was meant for him. And he couldn't take it. And he came to attack Bhima. The Mahabharata says Bhima continued eating from one hand and he kept him away like this. That's a really insulting for a demon. First of all, he's not getting his food also. And not only is he not getting his food, his opponent is not even challenging him. He is continuing to eat and just shaking him. Go behind. Let me finish the food. Don't disturb me. Once I finish, I'll finish you also. I'll finish the food first, then I'll finish you also. And Bhima, he could do that. So therefore, to see somebody's, how much he eats, that's very unreasonable. It's a violence. So Amogha would come and see how much Lord Chaitanya eats. Lord Chaitanya would anyway eat less, but his devotees like Bhattacharya would force him to eat more. What to speak of force? Before he would complete a meal on his plate, they would add more into his leaf plate. And Amogha would come and see. And Bhattacharya was guarding with a stick, hoping that Amogha does not come. If he comes, then I can chase him away. And there was a slight inattention on the part of Bhattacharya. And that was the time Amogha came there. Just see how he was alert. To commit offenses, he was more alert than Sarvam Bhattacharya to perform devotional service to Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, the desire to do bad has a greater success than desire to do good, unfortunately, in this world. So therefore, when you see that someone is prospering in nasty activities, it is not surprise. Because material world is designed. You need to have extra efforts to do good and little efforts to do bad. Determination to do bad is much greater than the determination to do good. Chanting Hare Krishna one round is a greater determination than singing a rock song. So Amogha came and he blasphemed. My God, what kind of sannyasi are you eating so much big food? Big stack of food. If you go to Bengal, you know, the style of serving rice, you know, in Maharashtra they just serve. In Bengal, if you go and see in the temple also, when they offer, they make a mountain. It is made like a mountain. And on top of that, they put ghee. And especially cow's ghee. Kaviraj Goswami explains, when Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Advaita Acharya, there was a mountain of rice. And on top of that, he placed ghee. And it looked like the golden mountain. You know, the Mahendra Parvat. Looks very beautiful and looks very big stack also. So when Lord Chaitanya was honoring Prasad, he came and he blasphemed. What is this you are eating so much? And Bhattacharya came with a stick, started chasing. Amogha was young, Bhattacharya was old. And he felt really sad. My God, he blasphemed Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya did not mind. In fact, Lord Chaitanya was laughing at this. And he said, never mind, don't worry. He said, don't worry about this. And what did Lord Chaitanya do afterwards? He said, my dear Bhattacharya, he said, why you have to worry? He said, what he said is right. Actually, I am eating more than what I need. Lord Chaitanya tried to sympathize with Bhattacharya. And Bhattacharya said, my Lord, I called you in my home not to feed, but to hear offenses. To make that person offensive against you. He was feeling remorse. And Bhattacharya said, for this crime, I need to kill him. He's a Brahmin, simple teacher in the school. And he was teaching sannyasis. Never violent in his thought also. But he felt like that. And then he said, no, how can I kill him? Because after all, he's a Brahmana. And if I kill him, that will be a Brahmahatya. If I don't kill him, but I have committed the offense of listening to blasphemy, I should commit suicide. But if I do that, I am also Brahmana. That is also Brahmahatya. So how can I handle both Brahmahatyas? So better I don't see his face only. That was his determination. But I say devotional service is so powerful that Amogha had a misunderstanding of Lord Chaitanya, but he could not avoid the positive effect of Bhattacharya's devotional service. and Krishna arranged for his purification. He had a cholera, serious cholera, and then Lord Chaitanya went to visit him. He said, "My dear Amogha, your tongue, Lord has given you the tongue. It's a tongue of a Brahmana. You should be reciting Vedic verses. You should be chanting the holy name, not the blasphemy." And Amogha had already got purified. And he started slapping on his cheeks. And Mahaprabhu stopped and said, "You don't have to do such kind of measures." And Bhattacharya came. And then Lord Chaitanya told Bhattacharya, he said, "My dear Bhattacharya," he said, "even a dog in your house is very dear to me. Even a dog is very dear to me." Of course, there was no dog in the house of Bhattacharya because he was a head priest of, he was the priest of the priest. He was the in charge of all the priests of Jagannath temple. But still Lord Chaitanya was saying to make a point that how dear a devotee for the Lord is. So the point here is that when pure devotional service is performed to Krishna, then one may misunderstand in the beginning. But the effect of that devotional service is beneficial to everybody. Therefore, Krishna is glorifying the pure devotees. He said, "Yes, everybody is great. Just see the heart of the Lord. Udara sarvayavahi." This shloka is such a... You can guess, you can imagine. Krishna is speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna. And he is stretching his hands to Arjuna and saying, "My dear Arjuna, everybody, anyone who comes to me for whatever reason, akama, sarvakama, moksha kama udaradi, tivrena bhakti yogana yajeta purusham param." Yes, for whatever reason devotees, whatever reason a person comes to me, I am there to protect. One of such devotees is Gajendra. And Gajendra approached Lord with one intention, that I am distressed and you have to relieve me from distress. And what was his distress? His distress was he was caught by a crocodile. And we are also caught by a crocodile. Crocodile in this world comes in different forms. May not be as a crocodile. A recession is a crocodile. Everybody is stuck by that. Legs, even the mouth has gone into the, in the devouring, you know, crocodile of recession. And there are mental problems, social problems, physical problems, family problems, conflicting relationship problems. So there are many crocodiles. Gajendra was caught by one crocodile. The conditioned soul in Kali Yuga, this crocodile has got many heads. Like a Ravan, you know. And he's catching. So when Gajendra prayed Krishna to relieve him from trouble, the Shastra explains, the Lord says, here this Gajendra is calling. He did not analyze. Why is he calling? What is his intention? He doesn't have a good intention. He's only interested in asking for material favor. I'm not going to go there. He is not a pure devotee of mine. But Krishna doesn't think like that. Therefore, he's saying, he's calling me. If he's calling me, I have to go. He feels obliged. So Krishna told Garuda, "Take me there." And Garuda is so fast. When Hanumanji was flying across the Indian Ocean to know about Mother Sita, he compares. He said, "Only Garuda and Vayu can do what I am doing. They can fly to any extent." So now Garuda has the power to take the Lord with a greater speed according to the desire of the Lord. As desire of the Lord becomes stronger, Garuda's speed increases. That is a system. That is a mechanical system. But when Krishna is flying with along with Garuda, the Lord's intensity to save Gajendra increased more than Garuda could handle it. So the Shastra says, Krishna jumped off Garuda and grabbed Garuda in his, you know, in his grip, and he ran to Gajendra to save. If you want to hear a story, this is a fantastic story also. Even from an exciting point of view, but at the same time there is an element of compassion of the Lord. There is an element of compassion of the Lord. As Gaurangpur was mentioning today morning, He said, when all the great sages, demigods, great personalities like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma with four heads and with unlimited intelligence, he reasons, his logic makes him very clear, the Lord exists and I exist only because of him. Brahmaji never asked this question, can you prove me that God exists? A person with four head is not asking that question, and person without head, only with, you know, without a brain substance, you know, he poses a question, you know, can you prove the existence of God? How do you believe that God exists? It's all blind following, coming to the temple, worshipping a statue, spending all that money. But they make themselves as a statue, spend so much of money, so much of time standing in front of the mirror and watching and offering puja to every limb of their body. That is okay. But when you worship God, you know, why do you spend money on that? So Brahmaji never asked that question, Dad, does God exist? Because for him, God exists. God really exists. If Brahmaji accepts, Lord Shiva accepts, Indra accepts, Chandra accepts, Goddess of Fortune is accepting, what is our problem? Our theory, our clubs, there is an atheistic club formed here, atheistic club formed there, and there was a new theory how God does not exist. Billions of such theories were existing that God does not exist. They are not existing anymore, but God is still existing. They have been passed away by the power of time. All those who made the theory that God does not exist, and God still exists, even in the modern world, where people have not much interest, still thousands of people go to Kumbh Mela. Thousands of people go to Tirupati. Still you have to stand in line few hours. Why? Like somebody was saying, you know, some Indian, very highly sophisticated South Indian, they work for some big scientist in America, and they are thinking how they are trying to prove and reconfirm that how Darwinian theory is right, even though many scientists have disproved Darwinian theory. And their Indian people are working. How we have come from monkeys? No, there is no such thing as God and this and that. Everything based upon the principle of survival of the fittest. So they do research, they write papers when they come to their hometown. You know, consciously or unconsciously, with their relatives or without their relatives, they go to some temples in South India, whether Ranganath temple or Tirupati temple. And the first thing the pujari asks, what is your gotra? Nobody says, my gotra, according to scientific theory, I come from the monkeys. No, they would write such paper when the pujari asks, what does he say? He will talk, Bharadwaj gotra, Gautam gotra, this gotra, that gotra. Then what is your atheism? Your atheism only on the paper. But your consciousness cannot accept it. It is not possible. Even the biggest atheist, you know, he consciously or unconsciously keeps on praying. If there is really God existing, you know, please forgive me from all the offense of what I do. And God will forgive him. Why? Because at least it's a good joke for the Lord. Outside world is a big atheist, but inside he does not believe in his atheism. Why? Because atheism is not a philosophy. Atheism is a mindset. It is a perverted mindset. Because how can a thing which cannot be proved can become a philosophy? It is not possible. So therefore, here Krishna is so interesting in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He is willing to say anyone who comes for any reason. For any reason, as Madan Gopal Prabhu was mentioning, today is actually our temple deities' appearance. They appeared 21 years ago in this very place. Almost at the same time, just here. You know, we had brought the deities here and they're being installed. And the dress also, the first outfit for the Lord was almost the same color except the butterfly, different yellow color butterfly. The same kind of color, same kind of stars were there, the silver. And the whole temple, even it was an installation ceremony, there were no more than 200 people. But still 200 was a big number in those times. Now there is nothing, still there are so many devotees. Why? Because one may say, as the time passes, less number of people are interested in God. But we are seeing, for installation only 200 people were there. Now it has taken 21 years after installation, there are more than 200 people here now in the evening without any announcement. Why? Because the tendency of the living entity cannot be removed from the principle of worshipping and idolizing somebody superior. You cannot. There is an inherent nature to worship. Even the biggest, most powerful personality has somebody in his mind to idolize, to worship. You go and ask if you have the facility to, you know, interact with the greatest of the cricketer or the greatest of the film star. Ask them, do you worship somebody? Because everybody worships you. They will have someone in their life to worship. Why? Because that's a natural tendency. But that tendency is most suitably applied when we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because He also has that tendency. He has that tendency to worship His devotees. Like today's verse also in the Bhagavatam, wherein Yudhishthira Maharaj, yesterday we were discussing in the Bhagavatam class, Narad Muni says that what can I say about the Pandavas? He's telling it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said the Pandavas are the best of the devotees, very dear to the Lord. Narad Muni is saying this in the Indraprastha, in the Maya Danos, that Maya Sabha. And he's saying that, and who is sitting and listening? Krishna is sitting and listening. When Narad Muni is saying it to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yuyam Nruloke Vata Bhuri Bhaga. Bhuri Bhag, the greatest, magnanimous, most fortunate people. And Krishna would have stopped, hey, stop it. That's not true. When you are overestimating their devotion, they are not like that. Krishna is sitting and listening and confirming the statement of Narad Muni. And who is Yudhishthira Maharaj? Yudhishthira Maharaj arranged Agra Puja for the Lord. And in that Agra Puja, he was supposed to worship Lord Vishnu. But before Lord Narayan or Krishna was worshipped, Krishna personally came, he took a conch, filled the milk. Draupadi and Yudhishthira Maharaj are sitting. Yudhishthira is an emperor, and the Lord bathes them. He worships his devotee before even the devotee worships the Lord. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was installed as an emperor, and Krishna offered puja to him. In fact, the Lord in that sabha, when the Agra Puja was supposed to be done, the Rajasuya sacrifice was supposed to be done, different people were given different services. Duryodhan was given a service of collecting all the ingredients, all the gift, what people would give to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why Krishna did like that? Krishna wanted him to nourish his envy. That's what he liked. He said, okay, you are nourished by envy. You see the wealth of the Pandavas. Keep an account how much wealth they get. And he's not going to give to anybody because he's so stingy. Even though it is not belongs to him, still he'll feel, okay, you know, I can't give it to anybody. So it's guaranteed it will be protected. And then Krishna chose a service. What did he choose? Any sage, any saintly person would come inside. When there is such a function, you always want to choose the best of the service, where there is a greater attention. Nobody wants to serve in the shoe stall. Nobody wants to serve in the toilets where you have to clean. Everybody wants a special service where you have to receive a special VIP. Shake their hand, bring them inside, talk to them and take a picture along with them and show to the world, I know this person. So here Krishna, what did he do? He chose the service of washing their feet and cleaning their feet with the cloth. Holding their feet and washing the Supreme Lord. And then when they decided whom to worship as the personality for Agra Puja, after Krishna doing worship of all of his devotees, he is the first in everything. No, he does first, then his devotees, after some time, what do? They said, okay, now we are going to worship Krishna. Then all the sages, Bhishma declared, that in this assembly we are going to worship Krishna. And it is explained, everybody was so joyful to hear this news, except few people. Few did not speak, and one fully spoke. Shishupal spoke. When did he speak? He said, let the puja become complete. Once the puja is complete, then I will prove them how the puja is wrong. That means you see that even if you wanted to give advice, give the advice before the function is done, so that they can rectify their mistake. So what was his intention? It shows that he was a demonic. He was thinking, let them make the mistake. Let the puja go to hell. Because once the puja is done wrongly, then I can tell them, just see what mistakes you have done. So there was no intention of guiding. There was no intention of doing the function properly. He wanted that function to go wrongly. And he thought that function to go wrong means they should worship Krishna. And that is the wrong thing. Once they do it, then I will speak. And Krishna was worshipped. Bhishma sanctioned it. All the sages sanctioned it. Vasudeva was there. Narad Muni was there. Devala was there. Asita was there. All the great personalities were there. And what does Shishupal say? How can you offer this guy puja? He's a coward. He killed his own uncle. What a bad thing. Can you kill your uncle? Now he's glorifying Kamsa. Just see. Even in those times, there were Kamsa Bhaktas. And Shishupal was the prominent among them. He said, this is harsh. This is cruelty. This Krishna. And who has chosen it? This Bhishma has chosen. He's the Napumsaka. And he calls himself as a Brahmachari. He has no brain, only water, because he's born of Ganga. Just see. So he says all this stuff. And Bhima is boiling with anger. He's a pressure cooker. Or a geyser. No? And he's ready to rip off the tongue of Shishupal. He says, I'll not only rip off your tongue, I'll make 100 holes in that tongue. But then he says, you gluttonous, you eat so much, what else do you know? And Bhishma talks all the 10 incarnations of the Lord to Shishupal. Can you imagine? That he didn't want to hear Krishna Katha. He got to hear from one of the best speakers. No, free of charge, without any money. He did not organize Bhagavad Sapta. But still he got to hear all the 10 incarnations. And some other, fortunately, he did not talk in the middle. Till Bhishma spoke all the 10 incarnations of the Lord. After he spoke, he said, okay, now I will analyze. He said, you talk about Vamandev. What did he do? What he did do? He said, he stole everything from Bali Maharaj. That's what he did. As Ram, what he did? He actually killed such and such personality hiding behind. Now just see, he is finding faults with all the incarnation of the Lord. So someone who is filled with faults, even if you bring him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most beautiful personality, he will find unlimited faults. So therefore, fault is not in the personality. Your personality is made like that. If your personality is made of faults, it is said body is made of 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. But somebody's body is made of only fault, 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 fault. You know, everything is fault. He will see fault everywhere. And he said, now you're talking about Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, killing Kaliya. He said, what is this water snake killing? And you make a big issue out of it. He just lifted some chunk of, you know, dried soil or mud, and you call it he lifted a Govardhan Hill. He kept on blaspheming one after another, and they are all ready to pounce upon him, but Krishna did not allow. He said he need a special weapon, and Krishna released the Sudarshan Chakra. Shishupal only saw the Sudarshan Chakra. Rest everything was, you know, nobody could see. The Sudarshan Chakra was in his hand. When it went, when it cut off his head, when it came back to Krishna, nobody could realize. It was so fast. The Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord was much faster than his mind and his willpower. It went like that and cut off. And in that also, now who can do this? You know, someone is so offensive, he's a burden to the earth. The surgery has to be done. This whole existence is a cancerous. Just imagine somebody has a cancer, you remove that part. But your whole existence is a cancerous, what to remove? The whole body is a cancerous, so body has to be removed from the soul. So Krishna did surgical operation. Very perform perfect surgery, removed Shishupal from the burden of the earth. But where did he place him? He gave him a position. He gave him a liberation. And that's what surprised Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, how can this happen? He said, this person was born with blasphemy. The first word when a child is born, it cries. But when he was born, the first word he spoke was blasphemy of Krishna. And such a person should have had white leprosy. But still he was stout and strong and he was able to speak also properly. How is this? And Narad Muni told, because that is Krishna's nature, he is very magnanimous. And one of the magnanimity of the Lord, one of the graciousness of the Lord, one of the qualities of the Lord is that he calls his devotees, any kind of devotees, whether good, those who are coming with pure intention, or those who are coming with a material intention, for money, for wealth, for freedom from distress, simply being inquisitive, or those who are aspiring for knowledge. Anybody comes, Krishna is concluding, Udara Sarva Evahi. So therefore, however you chant, best is to chant nicely, become best of the devotees, because that is better for us. But chant Hare Krishna by some means, for whatever reason. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we are extremely benefited. Not because we are chanting, because that is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have 5 minutes. Anyone has any comments or questions? Mahaprabhu was the one who brought the deities here. Radha Gopinath ji from Jaipur. Yes?
Hare Krishna Guruji. Thank you for a wonderful class. In the beginning, you mentioned about friendship between Drupad and Dronacharya. And similar incidents we find in Srimad Bhagavatam between Krishna and Sudama. That Drupad was also, Dronacharya was also sent by his wife and Sudama was also sent by his wife. How do you understand the difference between these two types of friendships?
The difference is Dronacharya's poverty stricken by destiny and Sudama was poverty stricken by his own choice. He took a greater pleasure in being poverty stricken. He said, I don't want to have any wealth. I want to enjoy being poverty stricken. That was his life. Why? Because he was practicing the culture of austerity, a simple living, and he felt simple living means poverty stricken. The wife did not mind what he was doing for himself because you could not change him. She said, at least for your children, you go and get something. And I said, how can you go to friend after all these years, you go and ask him for material wealth? And even in that condition, when he is poverty stricken, the difference between Drona and Sudama is that Drona did not carry any gift to his friend. He just went to ask, can you give me this? What Sudama is doing? He is looking for something to give to Krishna. How can I go to my friend without offering anything to him? And his wife brought, you know, dried, chipped rice, placed it in a torn cloth, clean cloth, not dirty cloth, but torn cloth, old cloth. And he stuck it in his waist and he comes to Krishna. And Krishna receives and they discuss about their friendship, the school time. There is such a meeting. Their friendship was pure. Sudama loved without any intention and Krishna loved Sudama without any intention. After all the days he stayed and Sudama did not even ask anything from Krishna. He was coming back. Of course, before coming back, Krishna said, oh, your wife must have sent something to me. He said, nothing, nothing. And Krishna snatched it. You know, snatched it from his waist. And he ate once, twice, and when he was about to eat third time, Rukmini stopped him. He said, this is not even soaked in the water. It must be very hard to digest. That is one way. And second thing, she said, you know, how can you enjoy alone? I should also want to enjoy the love offered by your friend. She also wanted to eat it. Now Sudama is going back and he did not think, what kind of friend is this? भगवान है कुछ समझता ही नहीं है कि गरीबी है, मेरे पास कुछ नहीं है, नथिंग ही गिव मी, ऑल मिशन अनसक्सेसफुल, आई विल गो एंड टेल माय वाइफ यू नो द होल द प्लान ऑफ गेटिंग समथिंग फ्रॉम कृष्णा डिड नॉट वर्क बिकॉज ही डिड नॉट अंडरस्टैंड माई हार्ट ओनली, नेवर इवन वंस. व्हाट डिड सुदामा से? He said, Kwa papi daridra. He said, I am a sinful rascal. Kwa Sri Krishna Sri Niketan. And who is Krishna? He is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. A daridra and the master of Goddess of Fortune cannot come together. That combination never works. But he is so great, even though I am so poverty stricken and daridra, and he is so great, but still what he did? Bahubhyam parirambita. I said, my Lord embraced me. What else do I need? He was just simply remembering this. He was going to his home. And what Krishna is thinking? He was not testing Sudama. Krishna was thinking, my friend gave me this poha. You know, it's so great. And what he gave to me cannot be compared to all the wealth I possess. How much wealth the Lord possesses? Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada speaks in one lecture, he said, some time back, many years, he said, one of the top industrialists was asked by somebody, what is the extent of your wealth? He said, I don't ask my Munimji. My Munimji is the main secretary. He said, even I can't say. He said, okay, we don't know how much wealth we have. So even an ordinary Indian businessman, he couldn't explain extent of their wealth. And Krishna is saying, all the wealth I have cannot be compared to what Sudama gave. And if I reciprocate immediately, the example is, you know, you have a rich friend and if he offers you a diamond ring and you can't afford even 2 days square meal also, how will you reciprocate? Can you say, okay, you give me a diamond ring, I'm going to give you an American imitation ring? No, it's not a fair reciprocation. Basically, you become shameful and helpless. You just feel you are put in an embarrassing situation because there is nothing for you to reciprocate. So Krishna is feeling like that. He said, I can't reciprocate. That is too much. What can I give to him? Whatever I give, it will only expose my embarrassing situation. Better I don't give him now. When he goes to his home, then he will see my insignificant gift. And when he came to his place, what did he see? Porbandar. That place is there in Gujarat. He came and his whole palace was changed. His wife was dazzling. She was no more the old, you know, she was dazzling and beautiful. Krishna did not change Sudama. Why did not change Sudama? Because Sudama could examine his wife, but wife could have not examined her husband if he had changed. That is the culture here. So Sudama, Krishna said, if I do like that, there will be a trouble here. See, even in that also, Krishna is very expert in management also, not to cause any difficulties. So from every aspect, if you see, the spiritual culture, from a material management point of view, social point of view, every conceivable point which you have to think can all be managed in the spiritual culture, because spiritual culture is the foundational culture. If that is not there, it is just like soul not being in the body. You have all your limbs, very powerful limbs, well-built muscles, you know, very good vision. Just like one biggest yogi, he's 91-year-old, and they did his test, medical test, and they said his limbs are of a man who is 25 years old. Just imagine if you have that kind of body, but then there is no soul, what happens? The body will rot. It will start disintegrating. So spirituality is like that. Spirituality is the soul of human existence. When you take that out, nothing will survive. If that is there, then all other aspects will come. And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam preaches. And that's how Krishna enacted his pastime. Whichever aspect you want to take. Social aspect, brilliant. He was the greatest social reformist. You want to see from the economical point of view, brilliant. If you want to see from a philosophical point of view, Bhagavad Gita is there. If you want to take adventure point of view, you read Mahabharata. What do you want? Everything is there. Therefore, Shastra says, just focus on Mahabharata Ramayana. Therefore, Chanakya would say, he said the intelligent people would spend their time. How? Pratya dyuta prasangena, madhyana stri prasangat, ratrao chaura prasangena, kale gachati dhimatam. That means, intelligent people will think, they'll talk about gambling in the morning, women in the afternoon, and robbery in the evening. He'll say, what? He said, yes, morning dyuta prasang means read Mahabharata, afternoon stri prasang means read Ramayana, and Ratri Chaura Prasanga means read Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.